Let's bring in our next guest, Missing Curfew Podcast, Shane O'Brien. What's going on, Obi?
Not much, boys. How are you?
We're doing all right, man. We're doing all right. So with a bullet, you take Bobby Lou and Andrew Raycroft as your goalie tandem in Canucks history.
Yeah, obviously, because, you know, my time in Vancouver, Luongo, he was a rock for us back there. And, you know, just the way he played night in and night out through the regular season. And we all know that, you know, Bobby Lou, he got off to a tough start early, but, man, you know, come November and December and then the second half of the season, he just, the way he could play night in and night out and the consistency for me, loved him as a teammate. And then my boy Razor, you know, me and Razor grew up 45 minutes apart. I was so pumped when we signed him our second year, and ultimate team guy, great backup goalie, and I just love Razor. So that was a no-brainer for me.
So we told Razor what you had said on Twitter about, you know, he'd maybe even miss curfew with you a couple times. here's what he had to say. Were Obi's nights at the Roxy as legendary as they seem to be?
Wow. I mean, I wasn't there to see all of it. Like I said, I was a little bit older at that time, but certainly there's a mythology around that guy and that place, certainly. So I would, even if half of it's true, it's pretty good stuff.
Is Razor lying to us that he didn't come out too often?
So no, at home Razor, no, he didn't. So he lived in Cole Harbour, right where I was my time in Vancouver, my second year. He was my neighbor. So like I said, I knew Razor. We would drive to games together, practices together. He had his wife and kid with him in Vancouver. So he didn't get to experience Yell Town with me or those Roxy nights that are so legendary. And like I've told you guys before, I spent more time in Yell Town at like Republic and stuff like that than the Roxy, but that's neither here nor there. But Razor was always good for on the road after practice, go for a nice lunch and a couple beers and then a nice dinner. But Razor, he couldn't keep up with me, boys. He knew his limits. He went to bed at the right time. And honestly, he didn't miss many curfews. He was the ultimate pro.
Obi, I know you talk about, you know, the legends about the Roxy and how you went out more in Yale Town, but I'm not going to lie. I've had discussions about getting your number retired at the Roxy.
Well, listen, I mean, my number should be retired 100%. My first year, I will be honest, I spent a little bit too much time at the Roxy. And when I realized that, I would go in there a night after a big win in Vancouver, because like I said, we always won at home. So it was like, all right, big win, I'm going to go out. And before I knew people in the city, and I would always go to the Roxy, and it's probably the halfway point through this, my first season in Vancouver. And I go in there, and the whole staff of the Roxy is wearing those Vancouver Canucks T-shirts with 55 O'Brien on the back. And that's when it hit me. That's when it hit me, boys. Like, it was girls, guys, every staff member wearing it. I'm like, man, I may be spending too much time at the Roxy. So that's when I started to branch out, when the whole staff was wearing 55 O'Brien Canucks T-shirts.
All the jerseys with 55 O'Brien, all of them at the Roxy. That's great. Is Shane O'Brien joining us as he does every week here on Reach Deep? We've been talking about the Canucks forward group, and we heard from Jim Benning today, and gave you know, he said with Jake Virtanen, he still believes in him, but gives him some tough love every once in a while. When you're a player, do you like the tough love coming from the general manager, or do you kind of get upset about it? How do you feel usually as a player?
Yeah, you know, the thing with tough love, and I said this to guys when I got later in my career, these younger guys, you know, the time to start worrying as a player when the coach doesn't talk to you, when the coach doesn't yell at you, when the coach won't even notice if you're at the rink or not, because that's when he's giving up on you. That's when management is probably giving up on you, and your time in whatever city it is, it's come to an end. And, you know, with Virtanen, listen, you know, he's had a tough love more than anyone, which means Greener and Jim Benning do like him. And obviously Jim showed his faith in him again with giving him another contract. So for me, I went through it with Torts my second year in Tampa. It was my second year in the league. As you know, as a defenseman, it's tough. I was probably playing too many minutes. I was playing over 20 a night. You know, we weren't winning. Torch was all over me every single day, calling me in, ripping me, showing me video. But I look back at it, and Torch was one of my favorite coaches. I knew he cared. It made me a better person, a stronger man. So I always said, if the coach is yelling at you, it's a good thing. When he doesn't know your name and doesn't even know if you're at the rink, that's when your time to pack your bags, because you're probably leaving town.
Obi, you mentioned, you know, John Tortorella. We all know the well-documented, you've been in AV's doghouse a little bit here in Vancouver as well. But when a GM talks to you, when they reach out, how big of a problem is that? Do you really take notice? Do you have a story on a GM basically going out of their way and say, hey, O'Brien, I got to talk to you?
Yeah, so I was in Vancouver my first year. You notice how a lot of these stories of me getting in trouble revolve around Vancouver, boys? I mean, as you boys know, but...
I mean, you started by saying you spent too much time at the Roxy, so I don't know. It's kind of coming full circle. Well,
I said, listen, we won every home game. But I mean, we're on a good team, so I was enjoying the finer things of the city. But, you know, I popped off my first year about being a healthy scratch and not being able to be out in the third period. And, you know, if you can't be put out in the third period, maybe you shouldn't be on the team. And I remember the next day coming over to practice and Mike Gillies calling me and just laying into me about how he traded for me and, you know, don't be bigger than the team and this stuff. So when the boss finally calls you, you know, Brian Burke, I had a fight against Winchester my rookie year in Anaheim, and I took my helmet off and spun it and went crazy. Burke called me in his office the next day and said, I love that you fought, but none of that clown activity. So when the GM finally calls you or pulls you into your office as any player, you're extremely nervous, and the message is loud and clear.
You think the Canucks have been fair with JV? You know, there's some that say, you know, he still deserves it and he's getting better every year and earns more chances. Others say he's been given too much of a leash because of, you know, being a first round pick. Where do you stand?
Yeah, well, first of all, Daniel, first round picks always get too much leash in my opinion. But when it comes to when it comes to Jake, and listen, I've watched him play the last couple of years. I love his game. I don't know him as a kid personally. Like, you know, it takes time to grow into your role. But I think if you ask Travis Green and Jim Benning, and from an ex-player that watches the Canucks pretty closely, it's his inconsistency. You know, some nights he plays with a little chip on his shoulder and takes pucks to the net, and guys can't control him. And then other nights he's invisible out there. So it's about consistency. I like the kid's game. He brings something to the Canucks that they don't really have, his size, his right shot, his ability to go, you know, go to the net. But it's time for him to take the next step and play with that chip on his shoulder night in and night out. I'm not talking about fighting. I'm talking about being noticed, hard to play against, and just use your side and speed, which he has.
You listen to Reach Deeper, joined by Shane O'Brien, as we are every week. You can listen to him on the Missing Curfew podcast. Obi, Boston, Pittsburgh, and a couple of teams near you, L.A. and Anaheim, apparently, according to Elliot Friedman, are considering having all home games and playing outdoor games for their home games to make sure that they can get fans in attendance. That's one way to kind of bypass you know, the rules that are currently going on with indoor stadiums. What do you think about this idea? Are you a fan of having outdoor games as home games?
I love it. That's the Randeep. That's the first I've heard of that idea, and I think it's awesome. I mean, listen, anything you can do right now to get fans back to games, and as we all know, you know, it's a tough spot for hockey because our TV deal is not like the NBA and NFL and these teams that can do it without fans. We need fans. I think that's what's holding the process up, and obviously with the Canadian border. But hey, listen, the ice in the NHL isn't that good anyways, boys. Most rinks, the ice sucks. Let's play some outdoor games if that's what it takes to get hockey back. Get some fans there. I can't speak for the players, but I'm sure some of these guys would be all for that.
I know they've had outdoor games down there in L.A. and Orange County before, but wouldn't it be a little warm to throw the gear on down there every other day?
No, I'll tell you what. It's this time of year, boys. You wake up in the morning, it's nice. You go for a little walk and a coffee. You got a hoodie on. Then by the time you get out to the golf course or whatever you do in the afternoon, it's warm. But then at night, you have a hoodie on. If you're a California kid, you got a beanie on out here. It does get cooler at night. So, like I said, the ice in the NHL is not great anyways. I think you could do outdoor games. Hey, listen, we're in a desperate time. Anything to get hockey back. I'm dying, boys. I would give anything to watch hockey. If you can get fans outside to watch this game and get some revenue going, Daniel, I think it's a good idea to get hockey going.
What are you hearing around the league as far as the renegotiations are going? I can't imagine too many players are happy.
Yeah, it's not good. I've heard from a couple of my veteran buddies that there's a few owners that are saying, listen, if there's no fans, there's no point in playing. And I get it from their perspective. The CBA before the return to play, and now the owners are going back and want to take more money from the players. Listen, we're all lucky. As an ex-player, I'm lucky to make the money I did, to live the dream of playing in the NHL. But at the end of the day, it just sucks that these owners continually want to take the money from the players. But at the same time, as a fan of hockey, we need it back. We cannot miss the whole year. And hopefully they figure something out.
With you there, and we'll see what happens. But it's getting a little contentious, but hopefully they see the bigger picture here. Shane O'Brien joining us on Reach Deep, as he does every week. Obi, you got a special guest on the podcast this week, missing curfew. Hall of Famer Chris Pronger. All right, he was a mean, nasty character, but tell us about Chris Pronger, the dude.
Yeah, Prongs. You know what? I told it on the podcast this week. When I finally made the team in Anaheim my rookie year, and I went from the schlub room where all like the American League guys, they put you in the visiting dress room. So I finally made the team, and I come in the Ducks dressing room, and I'm sitting in the same corner as Chris Pronger. And obviously through training camp, I didn't talk to Prongs. And the first day of the season started with our practice, I was super intimidated by him, and obviously showed him a lot of respect, but he was unbelievable for me. Just watching him practice and play every day was one thing. He invited me over to his house for Thanksgiving and Christmas, where I may or may not have drank all his Crown Royal boys, but he had me over. So, yeah, Proms was great for me. He treated me unbelievably. I only got to play with him for about 60 games, but, you know, he was an animal. He talks about his career. He talks about how he was hard on young guys. But for me, I love Chris Pronger, and it was a blast to have him on, and he helped me a lot my rookie year.
All right, Obi, you just won over a bunch of South Asian and Punjabi listeners because Crown Royal is our drink, so shouts to you on that.
Yeah. I love the good Crown Royal. The thing about Crown Royal, Randeep, I love it, but it doesn't love me back some nights. You know, especially my younger years, next thing you know, I'm like at a bar trying to get in a fight. I'm like, what the heck is going on here? So I had to lay off the Crown Royal once I started playing pro hockey, and only at Christmas time I drink it now.
Obi, you're the best. We'll talk next week, man.
Hey, boys, one thing I got to ask about the fantasy. Is Eddie Lack trying to tank for the first overall pick, or what's going on here? I think he's trying to tank. You guys got to call him out on that.
I don't know. Eddie Lack is just – he's giving up. He's throwing up the white towel. He's like, I'm done with this. I'm done. Not a good year for Eddie.
You guys are the best. Thanks for having me, boys. I appreciate it.